good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hitney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We discuss national and local Native news. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, we have to put some prayers out with that shooting, Wendy.
Yeah, definitely. The shooting in... was it Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, shooting in Colorado. There was an active shooter in a grocery store. The police are there right now. I just saw a report on CNN that a helicopter reported they saw police taking a man out of the grocery store who was handcuffed and had some blood on him. Mm. He went into an ambulance, but they said they weren't sure if he was the shooter or not, and to stay tuned.
So as things come up, we'll bring it up if there's some breaking
comes
news
up, we'll bring it in.
Hey, I just want to wish you a happy World Water Day, Wendy.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't know World Water Day is held on March 22nd every year since 1993.
I was a young man in 1993.
I didn't know it was happening for so many years. And what it does is it celebrates water and raises awareness of the 2.2 billion people living without access to clean water.
Yeah.
2.2 billion people on this earth have no clean water.
Absolutely, and that's why it's such a big deal. And then with the
sad
water going on, the market, stock market, that's a scary proposition. Mm-hmm.
And all the pipelines being dug underneath every water body we have in the United States.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, yeah, we're not going to have any water.
Well, also, I want to celebrate not only World Water Day, but I think my Rogaine's starting to kick in.
I'm glad. Yeah, yeah. I recommended that, and I'm glad you took my recommendation.
Get them as a sponsor or something.
You know, I want to tell you a funny story about Rogaine, cause since I'm a pharmacist. I'm still a pharmacist, though.
Ooh.
So Rogaine, the chemical name is minoxidil, mm-hmm. and it was used as a high blood pressure medication years ago.
Well, I need that, too, now.
Men who were taking minoxidil, they learned and they saw that their hair was growing. So they did more studies and serendipity happened, and now it's used for hair growth in men.
This is an awesome segue into the Native news. Why don't we get Ogama on here, and everyone can vote and see if my hair is getting thicker now or not. Mm-hmm. But welcome, Ogama.
We
don't hear Ogama.
We can't hear you, Ogama. I don't know what happened.
Are you muted? Okay. We don't hear Ogama.
I'm going to leave and come back.
We heard you.
We just heard you. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now? Are we good?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Hi, everybody. Bonjour. Robert, I do think the Rogaine is working. Wendy, that was a good recommendation. It looks nice. So I am, if you guys are watching on Facebook right now, you're going to notice I'm actually in my car right now. I'm on my way back from a World Water Day prayer event that was held at the Wild Rice Protector Camp near Bagley today. So we were live in the La Salle Valley today. We did a water ceremony, and there was lots of prayers and a very good turnout. So that was very powerful and very exciting. And, you know, Wendy, I think about that a lot, how many people don't have access to clean water in the world. And there's really no reason that people in the U.S. Mm-hmm. should have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
It's astonishing to me.
Yes. So in addition to World Water Day today, in Stopline 3 News, tomorrow is the oral argument for the Minnesota Court of Appeals for the Line 3. So they are asking women to show up and to go down to the Minnesota Court of Appeals building. The event starts, they're asking people to show up about 8:30. So if you're in the Twin Cities area, that is a really good event to show up to tomorrow morning and make sure that you are showing up in a good way and showing up for the water and for tree rights. Tomorrow's Tuesday, so that means there's also Salsa Tuesdays for the water in Park Rapids, Minnesota. I believe last week they had, they said they had, oh, what are they called? They're not tostadas. What are the ones that everybody likes for
taco.
Mexican food? The tacos? No.
Tostadas, no. And enchiladas.
I'll think of it later. Let's not guess food. But that's from 6 to 8 in Grand Rapids tomorrow at the Enbridge building. Tamales, that's what it is. They had tamales last week. I think they're hoping to get them this week. It took me a minute. And then also coming up here too is next week, next Tuesday, Nancy Bolio asked at the event today if people could show up for the Bemidji City Council meetings and commissioner meetings to make sure to remind people that the Bemidji City Council, Bemidji County Commissioner, spent several $100,000 on ride gear despite the fact that Line 3 does not go through Beltrami County. So I'll have more news on upcoming events for you guys tomorrow. Today I want to kind of touch base on something that happened last summer. Do you guys remember the land defenders that were in the Black Hills last July?
Yes, I do. July 4th, right?
All right. So on July 3rd, Nick Tilson, the CEO and president of Indian Collective, was arrested, and there was a big, big win today that charges were dropped. So there's been months of political pressure from grassroots groups and petitions and all of that, and his charges were dropped. He was facing up to 17 years in prison, so that is a big win.
It is a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ogama, I know you're up in the deep north,
and
we're kind of losing you. We don't have your picture up anymore, and we're scared. So you got any anything here for another minute here? We may be cutting you off, but give us one more. Oh, there you are. Give us some news, a little more news before we get to this great show. By the way, Maggie Lorenz is going to be on, and Anthony Stately, Dr. Stately.
Dr. Stately, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the one that I want to touch base on today, just because I only have another minute, I'll have more news on tomorrow. There are forever chemicals leaking all over Minnesota, and in some places are 1,000 times higher in the drinking water than they should be. So I'll have more on some specific locations and the name of that chemical. I think it's PFAS or PCAS, but that's some pretty downer news. And on World Water Day, I just want to make sure to try to keep it light.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And yeah, can you hear us?
We're going to be going.
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, we're up in the middle of nowhere up here still.
In the deep north, the occupied north, and it's always a treat to try and do a live where there's no Wi-Fi, and it's just smoke signals and things like that are going through. So, Ogama, again, thank you, Pinigigi, for your update and going up there and supporting World Water Day and also representing in Native Roots Radio in a good way.
Yeah, if you go on Facebook, Ogama put up a couple of really cute pictures of her and Nancy Bolio and a couple of other people were posting for water today.
Yeah.
World Water Day.
Exactly. Well, again, Pinigigi, Ogama, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, we're going to have Maggie Lorenz, you know, and she's got a lot of things going on. And we wanted to get her on before.
She's from the Phelan.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of it. Tell me.
She'll tell us.
Okay.
And then Dr. Anthony Stately. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Mi
Agama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, wow, that was awesome. We are excited. And, you know, I heard that this person was going to be on Fox News tonight. And so I quickly called her and said, you got to come on Native Roots Radio before you're on Fox News and NPR. And we got to get you on first. But we have Maggie Lorenz on. And Maggie, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Wendy. It's great to be back with you guys.
Hey, so there's a lot to talk about, and one of the things I really want to talk to you about, well, there's a couple, but for sure, let's talk a little bit about your medicine bag and also your organization first.
Yeah, well, for those on the show who are unfamiliar with the work we do, I work with an organization called Lower Phalen Creek Project, and we're based on the east side of St. Paul in here in Minnesota, and we're an environmental nonprofit organization. We do a lot of conservation and restoration projects on the east side, which is, area of high poverty and high diversity in the city of St. Paul. So it's really important that there are groups caretaking these areas that are often overlooked by, land managing agencies in more low income areas of the city. So that's our role. That's kind of what we do. And one of our biggest projects right now is the development of Wakon Tipi Center, which is a cultural and environmental interpretive center. We're going to be breaking ground this summer, which I'm really excited about. And but the center really is going to be helping interpret the history of the sacred site Wakon Tipi and the related burial mounds associated with that sacred site. And those two sites are in two of the St. Paul City parks that are kind of connected, Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary and Indian Mounds Regional Park. So doing a lot of work over there.
Wow, that's awesome. And for you people that are watching us on Facebook Live, it's like, hey, I'd like that necklace for me. Would that fit me? That's an awesome piece of jewelry you have there.
Thanks. I actually, I won this in a raffle. believe it or not. I think I only bid like, you know, you buy like however many spots for $5, and I put like $25 on it. But this was made by a good friend of mine. Her name's Jasmine Fiddler. She's a great, just incredible beadwork artist. And she has a small business called Teepee Designs. So I check her out on Facebook.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So you guys, you're going to be making these medicine bags again. And I know last year, when COVID first hit, it was so exciting that your group jumped in there and gave what the community needed, is that they're not being forgotten and here's some medicine. That was exciting. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that and then what you got going on with that now?
Yeah, well, when COVID first came into the community and we started seeing the, you know, workplaces being shut down and people starting to work remotely from home and we realized that COVID was going to be with us for a while, we were trying to think what we could do. There were a lot of frontline kind of organizations that were primed and really ready to address some of the immediate needs, like housing issues, you know, emergency assistance, food, and, you know, hygiene products and things like that. We don't really do that kind of work in our regular day-to-day kind of mission. And there were already a lot of amazing organizations organizing volunteers they already had in their networks to do those types of food drives and donations. So we were trying to think how we could contribute in a good way without kind of stepping too far outside of what, you know, where our mission is as an organization. And we came up with this idea to provide medicine bundles to the community. So, you know, one of the things that we do in our environmental and restoration, we do a lot of teaching about the indigenous plants that are, you know, native here to Minnesota and what their cultural uses are, how to harvest and prepare them and the protocols that go along with all of that. So we thought that would be a really appropriate response for us. And we were just really blessed and honored to be able to do that. And people really, we received a lot of support and thanks, you know, from the community for doing that. So we felt like now that we've kind of been with COVID for a year and, you know, the people are starting to get vaccinated, there's been a lot of trauma in our community now because of all the loss that we have experienced. There's Native people are disproportionately impacted by the coronavirus, and we've lost a lot of our elders and we've lost a lot of language speakers. And it's just been traumatic, I think, for our community in a lot of different ways. So we thought that it would be a good time for us to do this project again and give people some medicines that can help with their healing and continue to help with their immunity support moving through this difficult year.
Yeah, and you're doing that again now, which is really exciting. And, you know, what a great thing for the community. And I really want to just give you a special shout out from Native Roots Radio and Wendy and I that we still have the sweet grass right here. I don't know if you can see, but
yeah, I mean, the bags were great. They were made of like beautiful fabrics. I don't know who sewed them all up, but they had like a drawstring and inside was sweet grass. And there was some Native American made. I remember I had some like hand lotion and some like cough drops. It was like really just like a nice touch to have that, you know, just makes you feel better that somebody cares.
Yeah, definitely. Again, thank you for doing that again. I have a couple quick questions here because time's flying. And one of them is Wendy and I, we live kind of close to the old Ford plant in St. Paul. And I know it's been there since one of the oldest plants in Ford history.
Ford car plant.
Yeah. In 1919, I think they were there. And so there's a lot of bad soil and lead there and all these things that have to be
excavated out of there. And I think that they were taking like just truckloads and truckloads of dirt out of there for months and months and months. And like the dust would just fly all over the road and people in the Facebook page for our group were really complaining about it.
And one of the things is that you're going to be a part of naming these parks. There's four parks. I did not realize that. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know, the Ford development is over in the Highland Park neighborhood of St. Paul, and it's 122 acre site. And like you said, there's going to be four parks, community parks, city parks that will be established in that on that site, in addition to like residential housing and commercial. So there's just a mix of use for that site now. But the city of St. Paul is working to determine what the names of these four new parks are going to be. And I think, you know, with a lot of the things that have been happening recently around name changes, you know, with Bede Makoska, with Fort Snelling, Epidote, and then you have now there's a park in Roseville. That's what I was talking to you about earlier, Robert, that I'm mm-hmm. I was interviewed for Fox 9 News tonight, because we wrote a letter from the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors to support a name change for a park in Roseville from Pocahontas Park to really something else. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but to avoid some of those kind of missteps, the city of St. Paul for these new parks is hoping to kind of vet some of these names through a Native American group. And so they reached out, and we pulled together a team of our board members and staff at Lower Failing Creek Project, and we're helping them to kind of vet those names and provide some recommendations.
Wow, that's great. We had a candidate that was running for city council, a native candidate, and she told us about the name of that park, and we were like, what? What year is it?
Yeah, Pocahontas Park. So that park, I learned, was named in the 60s, and the city of Roseville doesn't really have any historical documentation about how or why that name was chosen. But it was actually one of their Parks and Recs youth commissioners from the city of Roseville. He's attending Irondale High School, and his name is Commissioner Kim. I forgot his first name, but he's the one that brought forward this issue to the Parks and Rec Commission and thought it would be a good idea to change the name. And he brought forward a lot of reasons why, including, you know, the tragic story about Pocahontas, her real life story. And then also that Pocahontas didn't live here, so she's not from, you know, this right. area called Turtle Island. And also, you know, just the way that Disney and the media has over-sexualized and portrayed Pocahontas and in costumes, it's really a, it really just plays into the MMIW issues that we see in our community. So overall, I just, I think it was definitely time for a change for that park. And so the city and the Parks and Rec Commission are taking it really seriously, and they have a great plan, a process to find a new name for that park. So,
well, Maggie, thank you so much for stepping up and speaking with and for our community on these issues and all the great work that you, your family does all around Turtle Island here. I want to just throw you out a real big peeny geegee, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and up next, Dr. Stately.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find that perfect book. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Snap Construction wants to say thank you to all of the brave healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, and firefighters for putting themselves ahead of others every day. Your bravery is heroic, and to all of our fellow Americans, best wishes and health to you and your families from Snap Construction.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM 950 Trust Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 43, Tuesday rain with a high near 54, Wednesday more rain with a high near 47, and Thursday sunny with a high around 48.
Fire up Minnesota with a smoking hot deal on a new gas, charcoal, or pellet grill from Warner Stellion. You still get free assembly, free delivery, and 18 months no interest financing. Get your new grill from the specialists, Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I'm sending the link to Dr. Stately now.
Oh, yeah, awesome. So Dr. Stately is the, I don't know, Robert has his title over there written down. I don't have it in front of me, but we'll get to that in just a minute. But Dr. Stately is a doctor, and he has been on the show every Monday talking about COVID-19 questions and mishaps and all kinds of things. Today in Minnesota, I just saw that today is the first day, or maybe it was yesterday because it's reported, you know, one day behind, but we had the first day with no COVID-19 deaths for the first time in a year. So that's really unbelievable. And that made me very happy to hear of that, and I hope that that continues. And if it doesn't happen, then, you know, again, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, as far as the COVID-19 goes, it looks like we have three vaccines. We have the Moderna vaccine, which Robert and I will be getting our second one on the 25th, which is Thursday. We're really happy about that. We have the Pfizer vaccine, and that's the one that needs to be kept at extreme cold temperatures. And now we have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and that one is just a one-time dose, which is really fantastic. But we're going to be talking to Dr. Stately as soon as we get him on here. There's been some word out there saying that the Johnson & Johnson, the one-shot vaccine, is not good for Native American people and for Alaskan Native American people, and that they should not get that vaccine. But we're going to be talking to Dr. Stately about how that is a dangerous misconception, and that people need to get the first vaccine that's available to them. And then he'll be explaining why it is a misconception. Maybe he'll know why that misconception came about. I don't know why it came about.
Hey, so I'm excited Wednesday. I'm excited, Wendy, that we are going to get our shot Thursday.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that. And you know what else I'm excited about?
What's that?
We have Dr. Stately.
Awesome. There he is. Oh, all right.
I'm fighting with the Ogma. Looks like, hey, welcome, Dr. Stately.
Hi. Thank you. Sorry, I was having challenges getting on. I had to get on my phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, yes. We sound good.
Okay. There. Yeah. For some reason, yeah. My computer is not working properly.
Yep, operator error, I'm sure. No, I'm just kidding. Hey,
I'm absolutely sure it's that, but I'll blame it on the computer. So you guys are getting your shot, I hear. I hope you.
Yes, we're totally, nice. totally excited about it, and we're looking forward because Ogama got her shot last week, and she, being a young person, she definitely. She had some issues, Wendy.
Well, she had an immune response, so she had a good issue.
Yep.
Yeah.
There she is. Yeah. She's all better up there in the corner there. But also, Dr. Stately, Wendy was talking a little bit as we were coming on about the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and how there is a misconception about certain people getting that vaccine. And we were wondering if you could clear that up for us.
Sure. Well, there's a little bit of misunderstanding, I think, and misinformation that happened as a result of a physician in Seattle, a Native physician who works in Native communities, encouraged people not to get it. His interpretation of the study data was probably a little bit of a leap. He kind of jumped the shark, as they like to say. I misinterpreted some of the information. And I think one of the biggest things about that whole piece, two colleagues of mine who I have a lot of faith in, and I've known them for, you know, oh gosh, probably over 10, 15, 20 years, and Dr. Mary Owens and Abigail Echohawk, who works for the Urban Indian Health Institute in Seattle. They both wrote rebuttals to that piece in Indian Country Today. And I think their argument is that, you know, in the context in which we are living right now, first of all, person's message was, well, there was a high failure rate among the American Indian, Native American sort of subject pool for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, mind you, while that is partially true, the reality of it is that we represented such an insignificant number of the folks that were part of the pool. Like, you, we're talking like a significant, low, such a small factor in the overall study pool, that to extrapolate the kinds of information that the doctor was talking about with such a small sample is really not a good idea. In science, we say, like, any time that you have a really small sample of a large clinical trial like that, you have to interpret those results very cautiously and carefully. And I think the bigger issue is that, you know, with the Johnson & Johnson, through the clinical trials, nobody got sick, and nobody, and more importantly, nobody got sick and died or was hospitalized as a result of the vaccine. And that's for, like, a very large clinical trial population. As with Moderna and as with Pfizer, in both of the, on all of those clinical trials, and as a result of the those trials, nobody got sick and nobody died. And I think it's important to note here that, you know, over 100 million people have been vaccinated in the United States so far, and no one has had a significant there have been, like, a handful, literally like 5 or 6 cases out of 100 million of adverse, serious adverse reactions, such that required hospitalization or the like, but also no significant evidence that anyone has died from taking that vaccine. So to sort of kind of create this narrative or this story that it's dangerous and possibly deadly for people to take is really a miscalculation and some misinformation. And in this point in time in history where Native people are dying at a faster rate from COVID, testing positive 2 or 3 times higher than the rest of the population, and having the impact that it's having in our communities, to create hesitancy among our population ambivalence is not a good thing. So, NAC is going to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week. We are going to start vaccinating. We're going to use our first supply of Johnson & Johnson vaccine to vaccinate our unsheltered homeless population. We're choosing that to throw the resources in that direction because trying to get them to come back for a second shot in 4 weeks after we give them a Moderna shot would probably be not very successful. And it makes more sense for us to give them the one and done shot. That's our plan at the moment to do that. And we feel good about it. We feel confident about it. We've studied the science and we've talked to experts. And we are more than assured that it's going to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in Indian country today, they did say that, this is dangerous information and that you should use the vaccine and it is safe. Mm-hmm. And effective, and that the science all shows that. So I'm glad that you were able to come on today and straighten that all out. I don't want, like you said, I don't want people having, misconceptions and feeling uneasy about it.
Yeah. IHS, I think, also released some a statement stating that the vaccine is safe. As well, and kind of also offering up a more robust analysis of the data, helping us to understand how this Seattle doctor, misinterpreted the data results in a harmful way that could potentially be very damaging to our community.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of mad at him.
Yeah. And then we had a guest on this last week that mentioned it, and we just, like, changed the subject quick because, it was, misinformation can be sent out like wildfire, mm-hmm. Wendy mm-hmm. and Dr. Staley. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm really happy to be here and answer any other questions people have. You remember the piece on PBS? My cousin was in that piece, right?
Yeah.
In that piece, she said, I'm not taking the vaccine until the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is out, because she had done her homework and studied, uh-huh. and she had talked to a highly respected local infectious disease doctor that she has had a relationship with over the last couple of decades, and she felt confident in that vaccine. So she just found out that we're going to get it, and so of course she's been texting me
That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Because at first she didn't want any of the vaccines. Then she said, Johnson and Johnson. And now she wants it. That is exciting. Yeah. And you know what? I hope that, you know, people listening, if they're on the fence about getting the vaccine, that what we have on the program and the expert like Dr. Stately that we have on kind of will get you over on the other side of the fence and know that you're doing it not only for yourself, but your community.
Yeah, I think it's the best way that we can take care of one another and protect one another is to do our part, you know, take the vaccine, mask up, keep some safe distance between yourselves and others, unless you know for a fact that other people have been vaccinated, right? We now know that the CDC says that, you know, people who have been vaccinated can kind of have small gatherings, right, where they don't have to wear masks and they can be a little bit more relaxed in their stance. So that's promising. Like if you want to spend Thanksgiving together this fall with your family, or you want to have a small powwow in your backyard, you know, have all 25 of you go get vaccinated, and you know, and have a gathering, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Well, awesome, Dr. Stately. Thank you so much for coming on with us every week and helping us amplify the good message that you have.
Well, thank you, Padami. I mean, which I appreciate the invitation to be here every week.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Are you sitting or working from home and wondering why it's so cold and drafty? And is that actually frostbite on your toes? And that smell, is it the kids, the dog, the hubby, or ew? Never fear, AirSeal Tech is here. AirSeal Tech is your high-performance insulation contractor that specializes in finding and fixing the things that make you shiver and sniff. Call 612-888-3664 for a free home diagnostic test package worth over $400 when you mention AM950. That's AirSeal Tech. They bring comfort home.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
We might have to do that again. We didn't see Dr. Stately do the howl. Well,
there he goes.
Thank you, Olga, my dad. Next week. Hey, I'm glad you're sticking on here because I think we have some more things to talk about. So thank you for staying with us a little longer, Dr. Stately.
I can't hear you guys. Just
know that. Oh, okay. Can you hear us now?
I can now.
Okay,
good. I knew you were howling because I could see your lips.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we always howl after that commercial. I just had like a really quick animal update, but I'm really interested to hear what other updates that you have for us.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's really exciting and is that we're reaching the significant milestone here with the vaccinations. I think nationally and certainly within the state of Minnesota, this data is true. Tribal communities and places like NAC and Indian Health Board, we are keeping step with the rest of the state in terms of the number of people that we are encouraging to get out and get vaccinated. So that's good. We were so worried that we would be lagging behind in those numbers, but we're doing as well as large health systems and the state, if not better than some of them, and turning people out and getting them to come in and get vaccinated. So that's awesome. We want to continue to encourage people to do that.
That's great. Yeah, I know that there's go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it's really exciting because we know we have some clinical trials for some of the vaccines that are underway and likely to be finished up with kids 12 and above here sometime in the late spring, early summer. So it's possible. I think it's probable and even hopeful that we would be able to possibly vaccinate younger people under the age of 18 in the fall and time to go back to school. And I think that's a really exciting thing. I know that anybody who has small children or young adults like myself, those creatures are wanting to get back out and socialize and go back to having sports and spending time with friends. They've been sheltered and living like they've been living under rocks for well over a year. And so, for their mental well-being and their emotional well-being, that'll be a welcome relief. So that's exciting. We hope that those trials yield good results.
Yeah. Yeah, in the news I just saw the other day that there was a woman, a mother, she was a healthcare professional. She was either a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, but she put her own three children in the trial for the vaccine and wanted, the audience and the people out there to know that, these are safe vaccines and the sooner we get everybody vaccinated, the better. So I was glad to see that she came on with her three children to state that they were in the trial.
I would have done the same with my own children if I had the resources and the access to that, but absolutely. I actually just had that conversation with my 14-year-olds, well, they're going to be 14 in about 4 weeks, about this, that like when the vaccine has been cleared to be safe for you, you're going to get a vaccine. And one of them clapped his hands and said, yay. The other one, that one has got a girlfriend he wants to see. And the other one was like, no, I don't think I want to do that. And I was like, you are doing this.
Well, I think
I'm telling you you're doing it.
Yeah. And I think some people don't like shots, I don't like getting a shot, but and it is kind of, the anticipation of the shot. I'm just like,
Well, I don't know.
And then it was nothing. I hardly even felt it.
I think the COVID shot is like, I don't know if they're just used to doing the shot or the nails or the needle is that smaller or something, but I didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it either. And I think that there is a different gauge needle that uses it, and it's, I didn't feel it at all. I felt the effects after the second one, and I was sick for like, I'm not sick. I should clarify, I wasn't sick. I felt, under the weather, a little bit like sleepy and tired. I just felt really tired for about 14, 16 hours, and then I was fine the next day. And I know that lots of folks have different reactions to it, and that really does very depend, I think, on so many variables. But I think the really critical thing here is like nobody ended up back in the hospital because of the second shot. There's been no one that I've known in my personal and professional sort of like sphere, and that's a lot of people who've gotten the second shot that have had such a severe reaction that they had to go seek medical care. They had to rest for a few days, and I know lots of people have concerns about that, right? They don't have the ability to take time off from work. They don't have the ability to sort of miss things.
Right.
If you're a single parent and you're the breadwinner, that can be really challenging. But I always, and I have plenty of these people in my own personal sphere, and one of the things I tell them is like, well, if you get sick and you end up in the hospital, you're looking at more than just a couple of days off. You're looking at some serious serious challenges for yourself and your children and your family and the people who depend on you. So really encourage people to think that through better, right? And spend some time weighing out the options and weighing out the risks versus the benefits.
Yeah. How long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for eight nights and 7 days. So,
wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And was that a year ago? Were you sick
early on? That was in November. So I was in the hospital the week of Thanksgiving. I missed out on turkey. I missed out on all kinds of really great things. The turkey at the hospital was horrible. I did really love the omelets I got every morning, and that was the one thing I missed from the hospital when I got out.
Well, Dr. Stately, thank you so much for everything you do and stopping in again. I really appreciate what's happening and what you do for our Native community and the organization you're with. Again, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, which I really appreciate having the opportunity, and I appreciate the work you guys are doing to us. So amplify the message and get the information out to our communities. Together and collectively, we can turn this thing around for our community. We can come back stronger, right? So
exactly, Pini Gigi. Wow, Wendy.
Good words. I'm glad you really, straightened that out, because I know there were quite a few people who thought that was real.
Yeah.
And that it was true that Native American people shouldn't get the Johnson & Johnson shot. And, it's just misinformation. So I'm glad that we're able to straighten that out.
Yeah. And you never know. And so when you have somebody that does know,
who's a scientist, who's a doctor,
who is for the community and has had COVID and understands. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a trifecta with Dr. Stately. He knows what's going on, and we're glad to hear what's going on.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So, Wendy, do you just got animals are good?
I got a really quick thing. Last week, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission killed a petition by the Humane Society of the United States to ban trapping in Colorado's public land. And I'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow night. But for over 2 years, the Humane Society of the United States were able to stop the trapping and the hunting in Colorado. But there's a long story about it, and I'll tell you about it tomorrow. So they'll be, now hunting foxes and bobcats and coyotes and beavers and other animals.
Well, that's awesome, and we'll get more into that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I would like to end with these thoughts, Wendy. If you have been listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. I want to thank Maggie Lorenz, Dr. Stately, Wendy Pilot, and Ogama for a great show as always. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation free Leonard Peltier.